Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:32 p.m. Eastern, the 1st of September, 2020. I've got a clip here I'm going to play on the riots that are taking place in Portland. So let's start here, and then we'll get back to the Meyer material.
We begin with a fiery night in Portland's Pearl District. Police declared a riot as a crowd of more than 200 gathered outside Mayor Ted Wheeler's apartment building. The scene turned violent with people stoking a fire in the street and vandalizing a dental office in the ground floor, which is minority owned. Police deployed crowd control munitions and made 19 arrests. Now, this riot coincided with Mayor Wheeler's birthday, and people in the crowd taunted him, bringing balloons and wearing party hats as they called for him to resign. Those in the crowd aren't the only ones pressuring Wheeler to resign. Six Portland-based organizations, ranging from the Democratic Socialists of America to Portland's Resistance, are echoing the demand. And President Trump continues to ridicule Wheeler on Twitter, writing yesterday, "If this joke of a mayor doesn't clean up Portland, we will go in and do it for them." Well, 3 days after a deadly shooting in downtown Portland, police still haven't made an arrest or released a name of a suspect, but they are confirming the identity of the victim. He's 39-year-old Aaron Danielson, and he was known by his friends by his middle name of Jay. He lived in Portland and was downtown following a car rally in support of President Trump on Saturday. Joey Gibson, the leader of the conservative group Patriot Prayer, called Danielson a good friend and supporter of the group.
Jay's one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet. Anyone that knows him, it doesn't matter if you're far left or whatever, you're conservative, no one would ever want to hurt this guy. He's one of the nicest guys I've seriously ever met in my entire life.
Police have said misinformation about the shooting has been spreading online. That's part of a reason a few of Danielson's friends held a press conference yesterday. They wanted people to hear about the Jay they knew and loved.
The people that are portraying him in a different light didn't know him. We that knew him know that. And it's time that this city hears who he was, because he was a good, good man. It would have helped anyone in any need at any time. And to hear his name being mentioned the way it is absolutely tragic.
A witness who caught the shooting on camera says he heard yelling and saw Danielson spray what looked like mace just before he was shot. Again, police are not publicly naming a suspect in this case, despite many social media posts from the public. After that deadly shooting Saturday night, Governor Kate Brown released a plan to help curb some of the violence. She's calling on area law enforcement to work with Portland police, but some agencies aren't giving her the support she's asking for. Bryant Clerkley is following all of this for us and joins us live. Good morning, Bryant.
Good morning, Brenda. I'm in downtown Portland now, and you can see the destruction to some of these buildings over here. This building has been spray painted, and part of the governor's unified law enforcement plan asks area sheriff's offices for help. We've already heard from a number of agencies who are at this time unwilling to lend their assistance. The sheriffs in Washington and Clackamas County say they will not send deputies to Portland to respond to nightly protests. They cite the level of violence and lack of overall support in the justice system. The Clackamas County Sheriff released a statement. "Had Brown asked me, I would have told her that no amount of human resources will stop the cycle of violence that is making Portland unsafe. For that to occur, the criminal justice system will need to do its part and hold offenders accountable." For their part, the Washington County Sheriff said the lack of political support for public safety, the uncertain legal landscape, the current validity combined with intense scrutiny on use of force presents an unacceptable risk to deputies who were deployed directly.
I am hopeful this plan will work.
Well, that's probably enough of that. Civil wars and anarchy in America. Contact Report 215. Yet the misery on Earth will continue as two terrible civil wars will break out in America, whereby one will follow the other. Afterwards, the United States of America will break apart and deadly hostility will prevail among her, which then leads to the division into five different territories. And it cannot be prevented that sectarian fanatics will play a dictatorial role. So this is a prophecy. It absolutely doesn't have to happen. It's not a prediction. A prediction says we've gone too far and the bad event is going to occur. The prophecy says we still have a chance to snap out of it. It looks like we're heading straight to these civil wars. I'd like to keep some optimism that we won't, but we are certainly heading that way. You know, Billy Meyer is in his middle 80s now. He lives in Hinterschmidt-Rudy. He lives behind this tiny mountain village about 37 kilometers east of Zurich. He grew up farther north in a place called Bulak near the Glatt Valley and the Eichenmoser and Bruder Mountains. I believed he lived at 1253 Niter Flocks. That was his address growing up. When he was a very young boy, before he had any contacts with his first extraterrestrial human, he had a very fascinating experience. And it was a warm night in May, and he dreamt that he was above his body or watching himself sleeping. He then woke up, he went out a lower window in his bedroom and looked out at a beautiful starry sky and this wonderful May evening. And he said, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And he also said, "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." Well, of course, Billy is only at this time about 4 years old, maybe 3 years old even. And he hasn't lived in the stars or among the stars since ancient times, but his spiritual consciousness did when he was a teacher. In one of the lifetimes he lived was a teacher named Nokodemian. And he had many, many prior lifetimes on other worlds and in other solar systems. And he taught what are called the creational natural laws. We have a universal consciousness. It's not a God. It's equalized. It's balanced. It's evolving. It's the universe has an internal and external body, and Schöpfung is the German word for creation. And the universe that we live in is the material manifestation of the wisdom of creation. Creation has the laws of creation are made out of love and wisdom at the same time. And everything which exists in the whole universe is a manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of what we call the universal consciousness. Now, this universe is 46 trillion years old. It's called the Dern universe, and it has 7 counter-rotating rings. One of those rings, which isn't even one of the larger ones, but one of those rings is what's called the material belt. And that's where all the solar systems and galaxies and the stars all reside. There are also 7 different space-time configurations in that material belt. So there's a Cirrus system in our space-time configuration. There's a Cirrus system in the space-time configuration that the Pleiaren live. There's a Cirrus system there's a Lyra Vega system in our space-time configuration. There's a Lyra Vega system in the space-time configurations that the Pleiaren live. Who are the Pleiaren? They are the people that Billy has had contact with. They live some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades, in a different space-time configuration. The world that they live in is called Era. It's very much like Earth, tremendously like Earth. In fact, they brought plants and animals to Era while they were terraforming and while the planet was being prepared for inhabitation. About, I believe it was 230,000 years ago that people from Lyra Vega escaped the wars and the tyranny and came to a solar system, the Pleiaren system, in this other space-time configuration. And they started to terraform three planets, one of which they called Era, and it's very, very Earth-like. And these people who escaped that warfare and that tyranny began to evolve, and they evolved to a very high advanced level. And they're at the point now in the fifth stage of human development where they're ready to graduate to stage six, where they won't even have a need for a physical body. Many of them are called kings of wisdom, or Ishwish, or Ishrish, as the females are called. And they're studying to learn as much as they possibly can about these creational natural laws. Some of these laws of our universe include the law of love, effective love, the love that's based on wisdom, the love that's based on a neutral, positive, equalized, balanced point of view. It's not romantic, it's brotherly love. It's very stable. And the Meyer Writings, Love Letter 27, says, love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So there's actually a logic to true love. The universe radiates this love. Creation radiates this love. It's easiest to experience and pick up on this love when you're out in nature. The second very, very important creational natural law is the law of striving. And striving means work. Striving is something that we do every day. The greatest power in every vasen or every entity is dedicated to the striving. And we want to continually strive to improve ourselves. The creation itself, as well as all its creatures and vasen heighten, is imbued with the power of the striving in order to attain success, the future, progress, and that which is higher. Striving is the power of the spiritual as well as the physical, and striving is an incontrovertible creational law in order to reach through incessant evolution that which is higher and more absolutely fully developed. Now, I think I could probably make an argument that your duty to yourself may also be a creational law, although I don't know that I've heard Billy put it in those terms yet. So maybe I can... Let me read a little bit from The Arts to Live and The Way to Live. It says, constantly guard yourself against neglecting or even disregarding or disowning your best and truest and closest friend. Thus, namely yourself, with which whom you are the closest always and for all times. Therefore, never neglect yourself and esteem your own friendship to yourself. Be caring, open, honest towards your inner friend, to yourself and your own eye. Constantly concern yourself with never turning your back on yourself, and thus neither on your inner friend, who you certainly always need. Pay heed that this friend does not just turn away from you when you are in dire need of him or her. Therefore, be constantly on guard, because again and again in the life there arise situations and moments which quite especially require of you the that you remain true to yourself and your inner friend. There are situations and moments which quite especially bring the requirement that you do not abandon yourself, even when everyone else abandons you. Do not neglect your duty to yourself. It's an easy thing to do, especially when you're striving away and you realize, oh, you've got to eat, oh, I've got to take a shower, oh, I've got to do this. So anyway, striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving gives you your sense of life. Striving means a pleasure and delight. It's really what gives us satisfaction in life is striving. That doesn't mean you have to break your back all the time, but always keep a purpose. Don't be aimless. Don't allow aimlessness to enter your life. Stay focused. Now, in order for your striving not to turn into misery, you're going to have to learn what's called the law of harmony. And this means your thoughts need to be equalized. That means they need to have a neutral positive balance between the negative and the positive, maybe a little bit to the positive. As a rule, suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking, if the suffering relates to negative or evil or bad outcomes. So if you have suffering, it's indicating that the law of harmony, this creational law of always being neutral, balanced harmony in your thinking, has been broken. So we always have to get equalized again, get neutral again, and get the balance back. So if you fulfill your duty to yourself, if you have true effective love for yourself and for others, if you continue to strive, the greatest power in every vasin is dedicated to the striving. Down to the smallest atomic building block, the creation is dedicated to the striving. And what supports the striving is your harmony and your thinking, your equalized thinking, your neutral thinking, your neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thinking. You're in harmony. Now there's something magical that comes along. It's called the law of system and order. I think I have much to learn about this, but I tell you, if you can get the first three laws working, law of harmony, law of striving, the law of love, and then you can put system and order on top of it, having a structure to your life, this will help you be healthy, happy, and successful in the material aspect of your life. Your daily life starts to have more of a structure, and things fall into place a lot of times. I hate to be too positive, because that's when you slip up. But this is very important, this law of system and order. And you want to work within a schedule. You want to have this schedule where you do things. And it will help you with your interactions with family, friends, pets. It's just amazing. If you stick with it and learn to be neutral. It's one of the hardest things, I think, for human beings on earth to do is to be neutral. We're always either negative, angry, or we're really positive. We're too positive, so we're becoming unrealistic and unbalanced. But learn to be neutral, continue to strive, and allow the laws of system and order to help you out. Because the universe is so ordered. It has tremendous system and order. And this, I'm going to read something that was talked about in a lecture in Austria in 1993 on May 8th by a person I don't know anything about, Elizabeth Gruber. This comes from the futureofmankind.co.uk site. And I'll read just a little bit of it. I've chosen this topic because I've recognized its immense importance for the positive, balanced, and successful outcome of daily life. Maybe there is one among you who, like I, did let time go by without thinking much about system and order and did not become aware of that. This is one of the main reasons for the manifestations of success and harmony in your life's unfolding, or the lack of it. In the course of our life, we look for reasons for failure, often in the wrong places, or we question our own capabilities. But in very many cases, the lack of system and order is primarily responsible for the underachievement we suffer in life. Now, there is the fundamental question of what is exactly to be understood by system and order, and what are the factors involved. I think this is part of the Geistes Lehre, the spiritual teachings, but I think there might be a book. I'm not sure. Let me continue here. It says, in system and order of fundamental cosmic laws expressed, we can recognize this law by observing nature. It demonstrates a perfect plan arranged in harmony in the law of system and order. Can you imagine if the sun rose some days at 6 a.m., some days at 5 a.m., some days at 10 a.m.? What a crazy world we would live in. I just thought about that in a humorous way. But that's the way we are. We don't follow the order that the universe has. The universal law is evident in the atoms, the smallest known building blocks of life, as well as it is evident in the macrocosmos. Humans, as a part of the creation, are integrated into a conscious evolution of the self. You know, I thought about the riots in Portland. What a violation of system and order. Going there at night when you should be resting to get up for the next day for your work. Going there and destroying things and hurting people. It's the ultimate violation of system and order. Rioting. It's ridiculous. Therefore, it is of utmost significance to recognize and to apply system and order as one of the most important fundamental principles necessary for a progressive and successful unfolding of life in an evolutionary sense. Adding to allow me to quote from Billy's Geistes Lehre spirit teaching, solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded, which by its own effort, each form of life must acquire. So we must acquire this universal love. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful in material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect according to the very same law of system and order. I have plenty of room for improvement in this, but it's really nice. I think it's something to try to apply to your life if you get the opportunity. All right. Let's go to something we were talking about yesterday, the steps of the vicious cycle. What is the vicious cycle? Let me read Might of Thoughts, page 26. Thus, it happens that whoever, as a result of some sort of adverse circumstances, has negative thoughts, soon allows him or herself to be controlled by these, whereby the consciousness is negatively burdened and correspondingly also creates the same kind of thoughts. So we repeat over and over and over again the same thoughts or same kind of thoughts. We're stuck with a very narrow perspective on one topic that's bothering us. Say we're real frustrated about shaving. Shaving is just not going right for us at all. And we can't stop thinking about how horrible shaving is all the time. Now, I'm just kind of making a joke there, but that's the way we are. We get stuck on something that's just bothering the hell out of us. And the consciousness becomes negatively burdened. And we start to have the might of the negative thoughts prevailing in our consciousness. And then we start slamming our psyche with these negative thoughts over and over again. How can you get out of there? A wish dream. A good way to calm the psyche. That's what you want to do, is calm the psyche. Think about sweeping your garage out. Think about playing with your cats or your dogs or your children if you have children. Think about working out. Think about taking a walk. Maybe you really need to take a walk out in the woods. You know, change your mind. Get your mind off that narrow little point of focus that's caused you to rotate the negative thoughts, which allow their might to prevail and influence the psyche in a negative and damaging way, which in turn creates negative feelings, which in reciprocal action reach the consciousness again and correspondingly negatively influence the thoughts which come about and again and again. So you can also tell yourself certain things. Speak to your consciousness. Say, I am confident. I am optimistic. I am relaxed. I am cheerful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm satisfied. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. What I mightfully think manifests for me. So if you can learn some of these principles in this book, memorize them and quote them back to yourself when you start falling back into the old negative wrong thinking. Now, we do have something called unconscious feelings. We have conscious feelings and unconscious feelings. Be careful about the unconscious feelings. They can influence you in ways that you would be surprised about. Try to look into your subconscious sometimes and see what's coming there. And that will tell you a little bit about what's going on in your unconscious. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. We've been studying the book, The Way to Live, The Art of Leben, and Mach Der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts, by Edward Albert Meyer. Google Billy Meyer and learn as much as you can about him. Very important. Talk to you later. Bye.